Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. Today with me, I have someone special. Her name is Miranda Levers, and she is the COO and co-founder of Thinkific. Hey, Miranda.
Hey, Tom. Thanks so much for having me today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's not every day that we have a co-founder of Thinkific, you know, because at my company, we do two things. We do SEO, and we help people market online courses.
Amazing.
And the one company I always tell people to go to, well, the first one I say don't ever go with is Udemy. And the one I tell people to go with is Thinkific.
Thanks so much.
And there are a lot of reasons for that. You know, maybe I'll rephrase it too for some of the people that didn't listen to the last couple episodes. Udemy devalues your courses a lot. You know, it's super hard to make money. You have no control. It's hard to market, especially when they start doing discounts without telling you, you know, and you make a dollar per course. You know, how can you break even with that? And Thinkific, they do a lot of things right. There's some, I guess, correlation with Teachable. You know, people choose one or the other. But from my experience, especially if you're from Europe and you don't want any problems with billing, you go with Thinkific. I think Thinkific's better for students, which is always important. Easy to set up. And I think the team behind Thinkific is a little better. I've heard zero problems of customer service issues with Thinkific and a lot with Teachable. So those are the reasons why I always say Thinkific.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate that recommendation, Tom. We definitely, I know that I'm a bit of a biased voice, but we definitely have an incredible team here. And our focus really just is customers and customer support and wanting to do the best and do right by our customers. We're really here because of them. So I appreciate that comes through.
Well, it does. And my listeners know that I'm pretty blunt with what I say. And I've tested a lot of these platforms. And I think I've talked with a lot of people that build on them. And the one thing that you don't want, which happens with a lot of landing page softwares and things, is downtime. I don't hear about downtime with Thinkific. And the second is customer service. When you have a problem, you need someone to respond to you right away. Not like with Facebook or with Google that takes like 4 or 5 days to even get back to you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because it's money on the line. And you guys have grown this company pretty big in 11 years?
Not even that long. Technically, we were founded in 2012, but really we went through a couple of pivots in that time. So as of like end of 2014, it was still just four of us sitting around a table.
Really?
And now we have a team of just over 70 people now in Vancouver.
So what happened in the last 3 years? Because, you know, people say you can't do much in a month, but you will be surprised what you can accomplish in a year. Well, you accomplished quite a bit in 3 years.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because in many ways, Greg Smith, some of you may know him as the CEO of Thinkific, he and I oftentimes will just sort of look at each other and almost pinch ourselves. You know, we're now like in a real office and we have, there's, like I said, there's 70 people now. And it really feels like 4 years ago, we just sort of went heads down and just got to work and kind of coming up for air. It's like, oh, okay, so that seems to be working. Let's just keep doing that. Yeah, it's funny how that works. Our focus all along has really just been focus on what we know at our heart. We're course creators and small business people, just like many of you are. And our goal from day one was always just to build what our customers were asking for and what we knew that they needed. And we just continue to try to do that day in and day out.
You know, you're even more in the trenches than I am. So how would you say this whole industry is changing? Because, you know, it went from a lot of spammy online courses. You know, it was one of these like Google AdSense sites and Kindle books, a lot of spammy garbage. And that's mostly on Udemy. Because, you know, on Thinkific, you're not going to make that much money with something spammy, you know, which so how do you think the industry is changing from your perspective?
That's a good question. You know, and I definitely think it definitely is always continuing to evolve. I sometimes even think about it back, like, how do you, like, comparing it to things like blogging, when blogging was new, and then how blogging matured, or podcasting, and podcasting was new, and podcasting and matured. And in so many ways, I find that when there is something new and shiny, you kind of get like that initial influx, I think, of the internet marketer, like the make money on online sort of internet marketers are like, oh, this is interesting. And then you get kind of that initial flood. And that's where you get that reputation, like you said, like where you start to get some of that kind of more spammy stuff. And really, I think coming very quickly on those heels is just a maturation of this industry, and people realizing, I kind of think about it more like marketing 3.0, in terms of, you know, we've tried push marketing, we've tried pull marketing, but now the recognition that we can not just build companies by educating people, but we can also start to use education in other ways to grow our businesses. So we're starting to see people using education as a value add, or education as an additional income stream, the recognition that we can educate our customers and give them more, get not just information, but actually teach them and help them along the way. And we can grow our businesses doing that.
Can you give an example of a value add?
Yeah. So, you know, and we see this across like all sorts of different kind of industries who are using online courses. So we'll see local yoga studios who want to be able to deliver additional value to the students who choose them. So they will do their in-person yoga class once a week, and they'll do an online sort of extra little bonus class that their students can continue their yoga practice throughout the week that gets included in their membership, for example. Or you'll end up with, we've got lots and lots of coaches who are building auxiliary programs to their coaching practice. So somebody might have a small business coaching practice, but they recognize that many of their customers are struggling with small business accounting. And so then they'll put together sort of bonus material, using online courses that sort of related and adds additional value to their customers, but isn't necessarily their primary value stream.
Yeah, that's interesting. So small businesses are taking advantage of it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You actually have a friend that started helping small businesses create courses. And they probably put it on Thinkific too, or Teachable. But yeah, that's one of the things he's been doing. And I was wondering, like, what does a small business need a course for? But yeah, that makes sense, especially like a gym or a yoga studio. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. And we really see it across industries. I mean, like, I think online courses can fit into small businesses in a few different ways. Sometimes they're obviously, like, the obvious one is a primary revenue stream. So businesses that really are just an education business, either starting because it now is easier, or they have an existing education business that they're bringing online. That definitely is one stream. But again, we're also seeing a lot of a broader use case as well with those value add-ons, like some of the examples that I mentioned, or as an additional revenue stream. That's one of the interesting ones too, is we've seen, you know, a lot of times people will have, let's say they do accounting, but then they're actually creating, they recognize they actually have a really good approach to accounting and what they're doing. So then they'll actually create an additional revenue stream by creating a course for other accountants to use their method, for example. So it's not their primary business, but they're finding ways to create an additional revenue stream through online courses.
What are some challenges facing this industry and your company? Because it's still a pretty new industry. You know, I've been looking at the market cap and things, and it's still a growing industry. A lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, you know, we've been so heads down that I actually don't see the uncertainty at this point. I see a lot of addressable market yet to go. So we definitely are not looking at it as something that we see capping or really dying or anything. If anything, it's accelerating and it's continuing to grow. So we really see nothing but opportunity. But the recognition also that, you know, industries change and needs change and our customers change. So we're really trying to be very dynamic and flow with what people need, and even, you know, insofar as recognizing that if we're heads down building for what Thinkific looks like in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, that in 20 years, online education is going to look very, very different than today. So we're trying to not look too close to where we are right now, but sort of trying to meet the needs of our existing customers, but also have some foresight and start to predict where the market is going.
So what does Thinkific look like in 5, 10, or 20 years?
That I can't tell you necessarily from a product standpoint, but I can tell you that it really just comes down to what our core values and what we really aim to do as a company. And that comes down to our core customer is an entrepreneur, a small business owner. That's not changing. We really believe in helping people grow their businesses through education and recognizing that the definition of education might change, but our focus is on how do we help people grow businesses through education. And at the end of the day, we want to make it easy. We want to give people complete control. You talked a lot about Udemy and the fact that they really don't give business owners control at all. You might as well just be an employee or a contractor of Udemy. But we really believe in helping small businesses grow with control and, to make it, seamless and beautiful along the way.
How is the pricing changing of the platform? Because I've been hearing a lot of people saying that it's been changing. I haven't paid as much attention to the pricing itself since we don't do the creation part as much.
Yeah, sure. We did make a recent change to some of our pricing, and it's not actually all that drastic. We still have a free plan. You can still absolutely get started for free and start to grow your business that way. We've got plans at the $49 and the $99 level. That hasn't changed. What has changed is that we've introduced a way for customers to grow and scale from that $99 plan on up. So it used to be we sort of had the $99 plan, and then after that you had to jump all the way to spending a few hundred dollars to get some of those advanced features. And that was really a struggle for many of our small business owners. So what we've done is we've actually pulled some of the features down from our more advanced plan and made them available as a growth add-on at our $99 level that allows people to start to scale beyond that. And that really is only impacting anybody who is successful and does have, hundreds or thousands of active students, where now they have the ability to access features that they previously would have had to jump onto a higher tier for at a lower level.
How many students do you have and how many teachers in Unthinkific? Do you know the numbers?
Yeah, I was actually just, I know it's on our website, which is actually a couple months old at this point, and it grows really fast. Mm-hmm. I know we've got, as of a couple months ago, we had over 11 million students in courses. And I know that grows quite quickly. So I would expect my guess on that would be 13 or 14 million at this point, but somewhere in that range. And we've got about 25,000 active course creators on our sites. And that's really just measuring who's actively getting new students enrolled into classes. But that number's always a little bit in flux too. So it's quite a big community.
Yeah, 25,000, it's pretty big.
Yeah.
The big challenge I see for a lot of them, and it's why anytime I say online course marketing, people's ears perk up really, really high. When I used to say online courses, that used to happen. But now when I say marketing, because a lot of people just are not selling courses well.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two questions with that. One is, what do you think is the average, annual income per teacher? And two is, how are you guys helping with the sales and marketing part?
Yeah, that's a good, those are good questions. So to the first one about average sales per teacher, I feel like that's the kind of number that somebody like a Udemy can give you really easily.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't give you that number for our platform simply because the use of our platform really varies in two ways. Number one, we don't take all the payments. We've got a lot of instructors who take payments off our platform. And often many of our most successful customers are actually taking payments off our platform. So we don't necessarily have all those numbers. And number two, because people are using Thinkific in such varied ways, primary revenue is often not the metric that they're going for. So if they're using online courses as a way to capture leads, or with some of those examples I gave before, if they're using online courses as a value add to other products and services, getting revenue for courses is actually not the goal. So that wouldn't even be like really the number that we would look at on our platform. So that's kind of the answer there. In terms of range, as you know, like with any business, it really can range. We've got thousands of people earning thousands of dollars a month, I think is the number that I last saw. But we've got, people who are earning, $1 million, a month as well. So it really varies. And then the second, I apologize. What was the second part of that question?
How you guys are helping with the sales and marketing part, supporting the teachers?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, so again, our goal is really to help people build, grow, and scale their businesses, and the recognition that that means some people are coming to us without an existing business, and many people are coming to us with an existing business. And so then those two groups of people really have very different needs. Our focus is on, from a product perspective, is being the best in the world at creating incredible student experiences. And we consider making sure that our platform is easy to market and sell with as very, very vital table stakes. So, you know, we've invested a lot of time and energy into making sales pages, like a wonderful sales page builder that is built around conversion for online education. And we've got really robust everything from like couponing to affiliates to drip and all those features that you need in order to facilitate effectively selling and marketing your course. And then we also have, we do a lot when it comes to education. So we've got free courses that help people get from, you know, 30 customers in 30 days and kind of walk you through step by step. We've got tons and tons of resources and content to try to help fill those gaps for people who are new to marketing this kind of content.
That makes sense. Is that the main way you guys market the business too, is through content marketing?
For our company, yeah. So the majority of our customers come in through content marketing, and lots of and that's like a very, very broad term for that, because we do lots of things like webinars with other people's audiences and that kind of thing, all of which would really sort of fall into that broader bucket. Most people ultimately come to us because they've read or heard something we've written, or they've heard a podcast like this, or heard about us from somebody who's already using us.
What are some things we can expect from Thinkific in the next, let's say, 3 to 6 months? Because you guys are always working heads down now, so it's something's got to be coming up. Some new feature or something.
We don't publish our product roadmap, and I've always been asked, like, you know, just like, you know, we've got to keep it a little bit wraps, because we really, just because we don't want to overpromise and then underdeliver. As you know, if you've been paying attention, we've released a lot of stuff, great new stuff recently. We've had like the entire app has been reskinned with the intent of making it easier and quicker to actually create and deliver courses. We've got a really great visual landing page builder. One thing I will kind of hint at is I know that some of the feedback we get is that our course player, which is the student experience, doesn't now look quite as nice as the rest of our platform. And I can assure you that that is being worked on. So that whole experience of when students are taking courses will have a new look and feel soon. I can't tell you exactly when, because my product team will be unhappy with me, but we definitely are working on those kinds of things, and then really trying to go deeper still into student experience and making sure that we're delivering great experiences, not just for the course creators who are using our platform, but for the students who they are serving.
What do you think separates the successful online courses from the unsuccessful ones? Because you have a lot of them and you have a lot more insight.
Yeah, and lots of data. And you know, I think for me, I mean, I'm a small business owner at heart. I'm a small business person, and I recognize that small business is really hard, and it's a lot of work. And I think that the people who are more successful are coming in with an existing business that they're now trying to add, build, or grow to, or they come in with a real understanding of small business and a small business mindset. I feel where there's a disconnect between expectations and reality is when somebody is not a small business owner, doesn't really understand that small business actually takes work, and is coming in a little bit more with that sort of like make money online. If it's on my computer, it must be easy sort of mindset. Those are the people that are going to be in for a bit of a, you know, like a wake up call, because the reality is that small business is hard work, you know, whether it's on a computer or you're out, you know, pounding the pavement on, you know, on your feet every day. Small business is hard work, and that doesn't change just because it's an online course. And as long as people know what they're getting into and don't see this as a quick way to make a buck, then I think you're in good shape.
Yeah, the one thing I've noticed just from my experience marketing them, and I keep stressing this, to create actionable courses and not encyclopedias, right? So don't just spit out a whole bunch of information that people can't do anything with, you know, just thinking that they're interested in the information. Like, have a step A and a step B and tell people how you're going to get them from one to the next.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. When I think that when people sometimes approach the idea of online courses, they're just really trying to think about the everything you need to know about X course, right? And right. So the one thing that people need to recognize is that online education in this form is very different from something like university education, and the goals are very different. So university education is marketing 101, everything you need to know about marketing. But people are taking that not because they have a question about marketing, but because they're actually after, you know, a credential or the certificate at the end, that kind of thing. And that's what that student is actually buying, is that they want the piece of paper that says they can do this. Conversely, with online courses, most people are actually selling to a consumer who's ultimately trying to solve a problem for themselves. If somebody is looking for a marketing course, the likelihood is not that they're looking for marketing 101. The likelihood is that they're looking for, you know, marketing for gigging musicians who just need to sell more t-shirts. Like, you know, like that's the course that, you know, like that's the course that the person is looking for, because that's the problem that they have. So the closer that you can match your course topic to the specific problem that your target customer actually has and is seeking out an answer to, the more likely that you're going to have that product market fit and be able to grow and build that course audience.
Completely agree. Miranda, thank you for coming on. And where can people find you?
Yeah, we're at thinkific.com, so you can find us there. I've actually got a bit of an offer I'll put up at get.thinkific.com/smart for listeners of the podcast today. We've got some resources and a bonus offer up there for you if you want to check it out. And we'd love to have you.
Awesome. Thank you again.
Thanks so much.
Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.